If you've ever made meatballs for a football tailgate or enjoyed chicken wings at a restaurant, chances are good you have eaten a West Liberty Foods product, our 2022 Frozen Foods Processor of the Year. With four locations across three states, West Liberty Foods produces grilled, baked, enrobed, chopped and formed, steam cooked, and convection items such as grilled chicken strips and patties, meatballs, breakfast sausage, and fully cooked chicken wings. Hello, I'm Kelly Rodriguez, Editor-in-Chief of Refrigerated and Frozen Foods and RFFmag.com. Founded in 1996, when 47 farmers formed the Iowa Turkey Growers Cooperative to purchase a turkey processing plant in West Liberty, Iowa from Kraft Foods. In over two decades, West Liberty has grown to over 2,000 employees and has now set their sights on a fifth Midwestern manufacturing plant. About 60% of the company's business is comprised of food service, with the additional 40% split between retail and co-packing services. To explore all that and more, I'm joined on this episode of From the Cold Corner with by Brandon Aukin, CEO of West Liberty Foods, and Michelle Boney, Director of Sustainability. Well, Brandon and Michelle, thank you both for joining me today. Brandon, my first question is to you as the CEO. You know, obviously, congratulations on being named the RNFF Frozen Foods Processor of the Year for 2022. What does that award mean to West Liberty Foods?
It means a great deal. We're first of all, thank you for the honor and being recognized as the Processor of the Year. It especially means a lot to us this year, just because it's been a challenging year coming out of COVID. I call this past year the year of coming out of COVID, which has presented its own challenges. You know, massive inflation or record high inflation we haven't seen since the late 70s or early 80s. Record low unemployment and a high job quits and turnover has been a huge challenge. So to be recognized as a processor of the year in a year that felt like it was one of the hardest we've had in my career certainly means a lot. It means we thrived in a tumultuous time, and so we appreciate it very much, and we're honored.
And you mentioned the volatility, obviously, of the COVID pandemic, and West Liberty's sort of coming out party, you know, also coincided with its 25th anniversary. I'm wondering, as a CEO, what were some of the lessons that West Liberty sort of learned during the pandemic, and how have you adjusted the business going forward?
Yeah, what we, you know, and Michelle can attest to this as well. She's worked for us for over 30 years. We've always been a nimble company. We've always been flexible. We've always moved quickly. It's not always the easiest environment to work in or smoothest, or your day will not be without excitement if you work at West Liberty Foods, that's for sure. But we've always been nimble, and that attribute of our company was absolutely critical, especially in the early days of COVID when it hit. We had to get together every single day. Michelle, myself, our senior leadership team, all of our complex managers, HR managers from across the company, we all were on a phone call every single day and through the weekend to make sure we were staying up to date with the most recent CDC guidelines. We had to just communicate constantly, and we had to change our plans constantly as the dynamic was changing. So that was the key thing, was to make sure we kept everybody calm and we continued to communicate. That was the number one thing we had to do. I think that helped keep, so each of our, we have four facilities across the country. We had to make sure each facility knew what was going on. We were supporting them. We were getting them the tests they needed. When it came time, we were getting them the vaccines they needed, the support from an audit standpoint, and just, you know, the resources to make sure we were talking to our employees and they understood what was going on and how we were keeping them safe. So I think I'm very proud of how my team handled it. I'm very proud of the work we did. It wasn't without mistakes. You know, we certainly made mistakes, and there's some things I could go back and wish I would have made different decisions. But at the end of the day, the team really banded together and did a great job of just taking on the once in a lifetime challenge. And I think, you know, we thrived in a very difficult time.
Have you had any, have you made any changes going forward? Or have there been any sort of programs or initiatives that maybe were accelerated as a result of COVID?
Yeah, I mean, one thing that every business will talk about is, you know, there's a lot more meetings like this where we're meeting on, you know, virtually. I think pre-COVID, you know, we would have probably had this in person in my office or something like that, you know, this very meeting, for example. But we are in the manufacturing business, and so we do need to be in the facility making product every single day. I will say one thing that we're encouraging our we never encouraged our team members to come to work sick ever, of course, but one thing that we're talking a lot more about is saying, hey, if you are sick, do not come to work. We don't want you to come. Don't try to tough it out. Stay home, because we've learned through the pandemic how quickly a flu spreads, you know, how fast you can get your teammate sick that's next to you on the line. So we're talking a lot more with our team members about that, and that has carried through. And I think just a lot more virtual meetings, not quite traveling as much. We like to meet in person. We like to do it as much as possible. But I think we've learned to that, hey, you know, we've learned to do things virtually as well.
And, you know, Michelle, one of the other things I think that has come out of the pandemic has been a more fervent focus on sustainability. It's, I think, brought it to the forefront, particularly as the supply chain problems have impacted all segments of our population, but certainly the food sector. And then, you know, you talk about packaging. And so I wonder, from a sustainability standpoint, were there anything was there anything that came out of COVID that sort of impacted the way West Liberty is operating, or, you know, building new facilities, packaging, anything from a sustainability standpoint that you can really pinpoint and put it on COVID?
Well, West Liberty Foods has always been a sustainable company. And so I don't think that anything has changed for us. We have it in our core to be a sustainable company. We've done this since 2003. We became ISO certified then, and that was kind of the start of our sustainability. I think it made us look at recycling a little bit differently. We had to look at vendors. We had to look at do we have any vendors that are close by that we can start utilizing instead of maybe a vendor that was a state away or something like that. I think that ended up happening. But as far as supply chain for sustainability, I think we had some issues with supply chain. I think everybody did. I think it made us look at, is there people that are close by that we can get our supplies from as well? Is there different supply chains that you can get into, you know, with packaging and other things like that? But really, our business is sustainability. So.
And you mentioned that sustainability has been sort of at the heart of West Liberty Foods for a long time now. What are some of the prime energy efficiency, you know, initiatives and some of the pillars of the company's sustainability program?
So our big thing is we are a landfill-free company. We are celebrating our 10th year of being landfill-free. It started back in 2012. Our Tremonton facility became landfill-free. And then we went to Mount Pleasant and then West Liberty, and then our Bolingbrook facility was in 2016. I think that's one of our biggest things that we have been able to do. And going forward, we've realized that being landfill free also helps our greenhouse gas emissions and our reductions by recycling a lot of the material. About 99% is removed from the landfill, and we have about 0.5% goes to waste to energy. So we are doing very well at landfill free. Energy wise, we are looking at solar projects within the company. We're buying some green energy at some of the facilities through our purchasing of electricity. We have core teams, at each of our facilities, and they're looking at how can we do energy projects? How can we do water savings projects? And this is going on all the time at all of the facilities.
And what about, I understand there are plans for a fifth West Liberty Foods facility. Is that correct, Brandon?
Yes, there are plans. Right now, there's not a tremendous amount we could say right now because we're still in the very early design phases, but we have one major national retailer that we are working with very closely that we've developed a very successful program that saves a tremendous amount of cost through labor reduction and product efficiency, extended shelf life on products that we're working with. And the program has gone so well that we need to expand now. And so, yes, we're looking at a fifth facility across our network. The facility will be in the Midwest. There's a tremendous amount of new technology that's going into this facility. There are lines that do not exist in the United States right now, heavily automated lines to make fully assembled food products. So exciting times. We do expect to open the new facility in early 2024. Design is underway. The equipment has been selected. And we're exciting. There's a lot more to come very soon. So stay tuned.
Absolutely. And I won't press you for details because I know, but I do wonder, Michelle, what are some of the sustainability initiatives as you consider a new facility? Because I know particularly in the cold and frozen environment, you know, the difference in just a 20-year-old building, a 30-year-old building versus today's technology is vastly different. So what are some of the sustainability initiatives that the company is considering for a new build?
Well, of course, we'll make that facility landfill free when it opens, as well as we're looking at probably putting some kind of solar in down there, and also looking at water efficiencies, looking at metering, understanding where each of these machines that we're putting in, what kind of electricity needs do they have? How can we get better? And I think having the data and having that metering helps you to still get better at what kind of energy efficiencies can we continue to strive to get reduce. And let me see, I'm trying to think if there was anything else. We do have an electric trailer that we use to haul some of our recycling. We'll probably try to put something in like that at this new facility. It works well, and it reduces our need for diesel.
And you kind of, to piggyback on this, how does West Liberty handle its distribution? Do you own your own fleet? How does
the 3PL
and we're always curious about, you know, once the food is made and processed, how then it gets to the end user.
We do not own our own fleet, but we have very close logistics partners. We're very much a partnership based company. We work very closely with a lot of long term suppliers, and our carriers are no different. We have about five carriers and a couple 3PL logistics brokers that we work with very closely to distribute all of our products. Now, within sites, we do have our own fleet. So when we're shipping intra-plant from our, let's say, our West Liberty, Iowa facility to our Mount Pleasant, Iowa facility, or from West Liberty to Chicago, we do have our own fleet of about 15 drivers that haul our products from site to site, because all of our sites are very interdependent and we ship a lot of work in process from one site to the other to be finished. Then once it's finished, it goes to a cold storage. And from there, it's distributed with our logistics partners.
Okay. And speaking of which, I wondered if you could discuss the four sites, facilities that West Liberty currently has, and talk about specifically which facilities are producing frozen products and what type of frozen lines are found in those facilities.
Absolutely. Well, the two main facilities that are producing frozen products are Bolingbrook, Illinois facility. That's in the southwest side of Chicago. It's a southwest Chicago suburb. At that facility, we have two continuous cook, then individual quick freeze lines where we produce meatballs, sausage patties, chicken strips, chicken patties, and fully cooked chicken wings. And so that facility we acquired in 2015, and it's been a wonderful addition to our network of facilities. Out of that facility per year, we're capable of producing close to 40 million pounds of frozen products. We also, on the refrigerated side, we produce fully made sandwiches that go out to national retailers as well. And that rounds out the Bolingbrook, Illinois facility. We also do frozen products out of our West Liberty, Iowa facility. There it's a turkey slaughter facility, but also a further processing facility where we process about 400,000 pounds a day of deli meats. And then we cook 400,000 pounds a week or a day of deli meats. And then we also further process, meaning we slice or we package about the same amount. Down in Mount Pleasant, that's all in Mount Pleasant, Iowa. That's a sliced deli meat facility. It's ready to eat only. There's never been an ounce of raw meat that has touched that facility. We do frozen products out of there as well. And then there's Tremont, Utah, which is kind of our flagship facility. It was built in 2007. Very proud of the plant. It's a beautiful facility. It's got full ready to eat and raw separation. It was designed that way. There's a Lineage cold storage on site. We partnered up with them back in 07 to have them just connect to our facility. So from a sustainability standpoint, we don't have the diesel and the distribution and the pallet and the movement and the energy involved in taking a finished pallet and shipping it over to a cold storage, 15 miles away. So now we have them right next door. They're just electrical conveyors that bring the cases of finished product right into the cold storage, and they palletize right there, and they hang the pallet within minutes of being done, being produced. At that line, and at that facility, we have two continuous cook IQF lines as well, where we can produce about 50 million pounds of products per year, of frozen products per year. Out there, we're doing chicken strips, we're doing diced chicken, we're doing fully cooked wings, we're doing chicken patties, we're doing chicken nuggets, and a whole host of other types of products. We also have a sous vide line at that facility where the product ends up being frozen. And right now we're producing a shredded chicken product out there that ends up being frozen. In addition to that, we have the capacity to do about 200,000 pounds per day or 250,000 pounds per day of sliced deli meats as well out of that facility. So very proud of our team in Tremont. And it's a beautiful facility that has been one that we love to bring our customers to and our owners and all of our stakeholders.
Well, I wondered if you could talk a little bit about knowing the vast product range that West Liberty is manufacturing on any given day. I wondered if you could discuss the company's, you sort of have three different areas. You have retail, food service, and co-pack. And I wondered if you could detail a little bit about how each of those divisions operate and what percentage of the business maybe they make up.
Sure. Good question. Yeah. So one thing that's important to know about West Liberty Foods is we do not have a brand. So our customers' brands are our brands. We're a food manufacturing company here to supply products to our customers who are servicing their customers. So we are the workhorse behind the brand, so to speak, is how we kind of see ourselves. So when we look at retail, food service, and co-pack from a manufacturing or from a business standpoint, we don't treat them any different when they're within the facility. But from a sales strategy standpoint, and when we're designing our lines and the packaging capabilities on our lines, that's when the division, the different sales channels start to take place. So as far as the breakup of our business, we're probably 60% food service, 20% co-pack, and then another 20% retail. But again, when it's retail, it's other brands. So think of brands like Great Value, Market Side, Kirkland Signature, any private label brand that's out there. We're helping support those private labels. We'll also do co-packing for maybe some unique type of products out there where somebody has come up with a brand and a wonderful product that's really growing, but they don't necessarily want to do the manufacturing. They want a co-packer, and that's where we step in, and we can help those folks that have this great idea and this great product. They just need the operational execution side, and they need the product supply. That's where we can step in, and we've partnered with a lot of really great large brands that have been, both of us have been very successful through our partnership.
Well, Michelle, I wanted to ask you, just because I think West Liberty's heritage, as it were, is a little unique, from how it sort of got its start. And Brandon mentioned that you have been with the company for a long time. And I wondered, as someone with a history, how have you seen it sort of change and evolve over the last 25 plus years?
Well, I remember starting, and it was just one facility in West Liberty. And the turkey growers, they formed a co-op. And on the last day of Lewis Rich, I think it was close to the last day, right, Brandon? It was pretty close to the last day where it was going to shut the doors. And the team members would have just lost their jobs. And those turkey growers formed that co-op and purchased that building. And it has grown so much over the years. So that was one facility. And then a couple of years later, we purchased another facility. And then it was a couple more years, and we had the Mount Pleasant facility. So I've watched it grow over the years, and we've grown as a family. It's a great place to work, and it's a family-oriented place to work. So I can go in and talk to Brandon at any time. His door's open. I just say, "Hey, Brandon, I got a great idea. Let's try to do this." And it's very nimble. You know that if we have ideas, it's just a few of us that are talking it through, and we might change on a dime. You know, hey, this is a great sustainability initiative. I think we should do this. But I've watched us grow. And we've become this big company now. And we're still that family, though. It's still that same family-oriented type of business. And I can't say enough about it. But Brandon is right. We have always been a fast-paced business. So we've got to change on a dime. And if somebody wants to do a product and we can do it, we will do it for them. You know, if we can fit it in, we're doing it. And we're looking at what can we do next. I love working with all the people that are here. Brandon's great. My boss, Tara, is great as well. And we have the capabilities of doing a lot of sustainability and teaching others how we have done it. And if we can do it, anybody can do it.
Well, is there anything else that I didn't ask either one of you that you would like to add?
I would like to add that we are going down the route of collecting Scope 3 for our greenhouse gas emissions. I know that this is a big topic for companies across the world. And we have started that mission, and we hope to have our science-based targets announced sometime in the year 2023. And we've got great projects that we've got in the queue. We're looking at putting in digesters and doing some other things to help reduce those greenhouse gas emissions, and looking forward to the next few years and showing people what we can do.
Absolutely.
I would just say thank you again for the honor of being named Frozen Processor of the Year. It means a lot to us. We take a lot of pride in what we do. We are a tight-knit management team here at West Liberty Foods, and we You know, we don't seek big accolades or anything like that. That's why we were, you know, surprised that we received this on this honor. We just want to do a good job and take care of our customers and meet their needs. So thank you very much. We'll continue to work hard and do the best we can. And thank you.
Brandon and Michelle, thank you both for joining me on this episode of From the Cold Corner. For the latest in all things frozen and refrigerated foods, visit rffmag.com.